This is SEC Talk. What is going on? What is going on? What is going on, everybody? Welcome to it. We are back here with another show to bring to you guys. Hope everybody is doing good today. Glad to have you guys back in here with us. If you guys are watching on YouTube, glad to have you guys watching. Really appreciate it. If you're watching, hit that subscribe button. You guys also run over to Twitter. Follow us there at SEC Talk 20. As you can see, it's me by myself tonight. No Cody tonight. But that's okay. We're going to try to get through and run through everything from this past weekend's game. I know I'm getting to you a day later than I normally do, but that's okay. Like I said, we're going to make everything work like it should. You guys listening on Apple Podcasts, if you guys don't mind, whether you're in the middle of this podcast or at the end of it, go ahead and hit, I guess, wherever you got to go to rate and review the show. Give us a 5-star. That would be awesome. Also, in the description of the podcast, we have the support link there. If you guys are interested in supporting the show, you guys make sure you go over and do that. What's on tap for tonight? We're going to run through all of the games. Plenty of games to get to from this past weekend. Games that were much closer than they probably should have been. And some games that teams took care of business just like they were supposed to. A couple of big ones, a couple of tight ones that are going to be fun to get to. Again, I'm getting to you a day later, so I actually get to bring to you guys the 2022 schedule that was just released earlier this evening. I've actually got all of that pulled up here in front of me, so we're going to go through that, be able to get a lot of that to you. Manus is kind of going to be going through some of the biggest games starting that 2021 or 2022 season, because for the most part, everything's, you know, pretty self-explanatory, pretty normal. Don't see Texas and Oklahoma on this schedule, so that's one thing. Outside of Alabama, they do get to play Texas in week two. We're going to jump to that in a minute. When I first saw that, I was like, hey, does that mean Texas and Oklahoma are here? Not quite. Now, if that changes, I don't know. Maybe when time comes, you know, that changes. I don't really know how that would work when the time came if Oklahoma and Texas were to be moving to the SEC next year. I'm sure that Greg Sankey can make things work to where he could schedule that in, whether it's having to pay a team out that you're already having to pay to come play you anyways. Just paying them anyway and filling in with that SEC game. I don't know. Something to look at, because if it's going to be like that, that would be the easiest and perfect opportunity to move to a 9-game regular season conference schedule, if that makes sense. So you get your normal 12 games, but instead of playing 8 at that point, you would now play 9 games in the SEC alone. So that would be... that would eliminate any issues that other conferences have had with the SEC as far as that goes. But I don't know. I don't foresee that necessarily happening, because, again, then you have to change a lot around, because at that point, I think Alabama and Auburn moved to the east, and then you got Missouri moving to the west, as well as Oklahoma and Texas coming into the west. So then you have to adjust schedules for that. You have to adjust that for those teams in the west playing each other. And then the teams in the East, that would, again, adjust all of that. So I don't know what would happen. I don't know if it would be simplest just to bring them in and just add those games to it and call them on opposite sides. I really don't know. A lot of restructuring going to have to happen there, so it does make me a little bit curious if this is something that's going to take a little bit longer. You know, I think I kind of predicted that it was going to be more of 2023, even though they said they're coming in 25, more of 2023 before that time actually comes. But as of right now, that's not quite the way that it seems. So, just something to kind of keep an eye on there as far as that goes next year. But we're going to jump into some of that. I did want to go through the top 25 because there was a little bit of change up. I should have had this pulled up in front of me, but I should be able to get it up pretty quickly for us, because I forgot. I mean, it's easy, you know, when you don't normal. You know, normally I do this on Sunday night, so that way you guys have it for Monday. Didn't do it Sunday night, and then last night I've just been, you might hear it a little bit, throat's kind of got a little tickle in it. I know, you kind of watch and you're like, wait a minute, you got Derona? No, everything's good, so far so good, knock on wood a little bit as far as that goes. So, but anyways, getting to the rankings here, top 25, wanted to run through it for you guys. 1 and 2 don't change. Alabama still at the top. Georgia 1 below them in that second spot. Rightfully so as far as the SEC goes. Until Alabama proves that somebody should be above them, as far as Georgia goes, it's the way it's going to be. And some people were saying, well, Georgia, you know, they still look really good. Well, you know, Georgia was played a good game against Clemson. Clemson didn't look all that great this past weekend, so don't think there's much of a reason for them really to jump right now, especially with Florida at that time being a top 15 team and still staying in the same spot. We'll get to that. But Alabama and Florida playing really well against one another, so no sense in dropping a team when you're playing a top 15 team and it turns out to be a good game like that. But anyways, Oregon, they do swap spots with Oklahoma up to that 3 spot, Oklahoma falling down to 4. Iowa, they're in the 5 spot, staying steady. Penn State, after the win over SEC Auburn, moving up 4 spots to 6th. A&M staying the same at 7. Cincinnati also there at 8. Clemson falls down to 9th, even though they won, but struggled with a not-so-good Georgia Tech ACC team there. Ohio State, they also fell 1 spot there to 10. Florida staying in that 11 spot even after losing to Alabama. Notre Dame stays at 12. Ole Miss moving up a few more spots there in the SEC to 13. Iowa State staying in the same spot at 14. BYU moving up 8 spots in the rank to 15. Arkansas keeps on moving up as well after the big win over Georgia Southern, 4 spots to that 16 spot. Coastal Carolina falling a spot to 17. Wisconsin staying the same there to 18. Michigan, after winning this past weekend, moving up 6 spots to 19. Michigan State was not ranked last week. They are in it now at 20. North Carolina staying there at 21. Fresno State, after not being ranked but having a couple of good wins on the season, moving up to that 22 spot. Auburn falls a spot. That's pretty good to lose a game, only falling 1 spot after losing to Penn State, down to 23. UCLA, they fall pretty hard, down to 24. Kansas State, after not being ranked, is now in that 25 position. Should be going across the bottom of the screen there for you guys if you want to check it out there, if you just so happen to not hear what it was I was saying as far as YouTube goes. So that's the top 25. You got a good number of SEC teams in there. May not be long before you see maybe a Kentucky in there. I thought that Kentucky would probably slide in after that big win over Missouri the weekend before last, but this past weekend they kind of struggled in their game against Chattanooga. Yeah, a game they shouldn't have struggled in. There wasn't even a line on the game because they were supposed to beat them so bad and ended up being much closer. So let's pretty much jump into, well, I was going to say let's jump into the games, but let's jump into this 2022 SEC football schedule that was released. And I really want to point out the biggest games coming up in this, and this is starting with Alabama. Alabama, week 2, September 10th, they're going to travel to Texas. That's really the biggest game added on to their season coming up here. And then, I mean, all the other ones are pretty much cupcake for the most part. And then you move down to Arkansas. Arkansas has actually got a couple of really good games out of conference this season. They open up the season against Cincinnati. I'm assuming it's at Cincinnati because I don't have – no, I think it's at home for Arkansas, so that's good. And then they also play at BYU on October 15th there, and I think that's week 7. Might be week 8, actually. I think I may have actually put that wrong. But anyway, so they're going to travel to BYU, so they got a couple of really good games in there, and then later in the season they also play Liberty. So Arkansas is probably going to pull one of the toughest schedules next year if a Cincinnati team and a BYU team kind of end the season on the same note that they are on right now, both being ranked in that top 25. And Liberty, as you know, last year had a really good season. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean anything for this season, but just something to kind of keep an eye on there. As far as that goes, crossover game, South Carolina, I believe, so should be pretty simple there for Arkansas. Moving down to Auburn, they do get that rematch against Penn State in week 3 on September 17th. That one will be at the house, so they get that home and home back against Penn State. After that one went this past weekend, which we're going to get into, that'll be a good game for revenge, basically, because, I mean, if you're an SEC fan, you've already heard this by now, and you already know that Auburn fell to Penn State in a pretty good game this past weekend, which we'll jump to shortly. So they get that revenge game hopefully next year in week 3 against Penn State. Moving down to Florida. Florida really doesn't have a really big matchup against another team out of conference. Their biggest one, I guess, is that season opener against Utah, which Utah, so-so. They will get that one at home, that one being on September 3rd. But really, nothing really big and major for them. Georgia, they get to open the season in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta in the Chick-fil-A kickoff week 1 versus Oregon. That should be a good one, especially considering the way that Oregon is shaping up their season right now. Oregon being ranked right behind them in that three spot, Georgia in two. So if they can, again, just kind of keep that same pace this season, opening into next season, that should be a really good season opener there for Georgia. Really nothing. They go to Mississippi State later on in November as their crossover game. That's really the only other big one that they have. Kentucky, looking at them, they're really their biggest game as far as out of conference. Really don't have one other than just the normal Louisville, if you want to call it that. So their biggest game that they've got on the schedule is going to be that October 1st at Ole Miss, that crossover game. Could be a pretty big one there, especially with Ole Miss's offense being as potent as it's been. LSU, they're really, I guess, at a conference game that's going to be a big one is opening the season against Florida State. That's actually going to be on Sunday, September the 4th. That may be a good game. Florida State, you know, they opened the season this year looking pretty good, but since then really haven't looked all that great. But I guess you could say LSU's kind of in that same boat as well, so maybe that turns out to be a good game to start the season next year. Moving down to Mississippi State, again, we're going to get into this in a minute, but another revenge game next season is going to be opening the season against Memphis, Mississippi State and Memphis there on September 3rd at Arizona. Arizona's not very good this year, so that second game of the season I don't really anticipate to be that big of a deal for Mississippi State. Moving on down to Missouri, again, their biggest, I guess you'd call it, it is an out-of-conference game, is that Week 2 September 10th game at Kansas State. I mean, and then really everything's kind of normal there. New Mexico State, that may be a tough one nearing the end of the season there, but then you move down to Ole Miss. Ole Miss opens the season against Troy. They're really the biggest crossover game, maybe Tulsa, if Tulsa continues to be how they have been this past year. Or I guess I'm really thinking more of Tulane there on September 24th, but I guess the biggest crossover game is probably going to be that September 17th at Georgia Tech. But really, if Ole Miss's offense continues the way they are now, these crossover games probably aren't going to matter quite as much. Moving down to South Carolina. South Carolina, really their biggest crossover game that I've got written down here. It's actually not a crossover game. It is as far as in conference, and that's at Arkansas, I believe. Yeah, they're in Week 2 on September 10th. That's really going to be their biggest game added to the schedule there. Tennessee, theirs is also a crossover game. There, I guess that's Week 7 or Week 8 on October 8th against LSU. Week 7, I believe it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But that's really their biggest game that they've got added to the schedule. Their other ones are really, I mean, at Pitt, if you want to consider that one again like a revenge game like I was talking about with a couple of the other ones there. In Week 2, September 10th, that home and home maybe as far as a out-of-conference game goes, but as far as the crossover in-conference, that at LSU will be the big one for Tennessee this upcoming season. Then you get down to A&M. A&M's got a couple. App State, September 10th, nothing to look past because App State has been a good team in the past. They're not a terrible team this year either. That's Week 2, September 10th. Then the week after that, September 17th, let's see if Miami can rebound as they will actually be. Texas A&M will host Miami there on September 17th next season. I think their crossover game, South Carolina, so really not much to. Or Florida, actually, I guess November 5th. They'll get them at home, so that'll be a good one. Then you got Vandy. Vandy opens the season at Hawaii on August 27th, so they'll actually be playing in that Week 0 game. Vandy at Hawaii, that one will probably be a pretty good one. September 10th as well, they'll be at home against Wake Forest. Maybe that'll be good for them. Vandy's got a lot of work to do before that's necessarily something that's going to be too terribly exciting for them, I guess. But it'll be good nonetheless to be able to go to Hawaii to open the season there in Week 0. So that is going to wrap up the 2022 schedule release as far as the top games. You can always go and look it up. And I'll try to post a link on our Twitter, again, at SEC Talk 20 there on Twitter. I'll try to post a link you guys can click and go and check out that schedule for the upcoming 2022 season if you guys feel inclined to do that. But without further ado, let's jump straight into the game breakdowns from this past weekend. All right, coming into it, we're going to skip past some of the bigger ones because there's a couple of them that were really good in this one. We're going to open things up with that South Carolina and Georgia game. Georgia, they pretty much took care of business, getting the job done 40-13. That defense of Georgia in general has just been the biggest question, or not question, but just been the biggest part of Georgia these past few weeks, and they're starting to get the offense figured out as well. JT Daniels throwing for over 300 yards, three touchdowns in this one. Running back game actually opened up a little bit as well, which was a question we had for Georgia. And the only other question we had was, what is the secondary of Georgia going to look like on defense? Because that front seven, as we know, is really good, the best in the country. But they did get tested a little bit deep, and there were a couple of positions where it was actually open. And Georgia, for the first time this season, actually got scored on their defense. So something to kind of keep an eye on as far as questions go for Georgia. South Carolina, again, it's just a rebuild. You know, you had Zeb Nolan come in there at quarterback, think he gets his hand stepped on, and Luke Doty does end up coming into the game following that and finishing the game out. Had spurts that actually looked pretty good. Again, throwing a couple touchdown passes, one of which was to Josh Van. He actually received three receptions, 128 yards, and one touchdown. He was one of the guys that actually got deep a couple of times into that Georgia secondary and burned them on one for that touchdown play. But in the end, Georgia much too much to prevail against South Carolina, 42-13 over the top of that one. Texas A&M taking care of business there. Zach Galzada coming in, doing a really good job after Haynes King went down last week with a fractured, I think I said broken, but pretty much the same thing in this situation as far as it comes to football, because doubt he's going to be back anytime soon. But again, Zach comes in and takes care of business in this one, like you would hope that they would against some New Mexico State, throwing for almost 300 yards at 275, three touchdowns in the night. Isaiah Spiller, he had himself a night as well, 15 carries, 117 yards and a touchdown in the rout of New Mexico. It's 34-0. Texas A&M rolling in that one. We get down to Tulane Ole Miss, a game that they picked to be a lot closer, and I don't know why they did. Once we get to the end of the show, we'll go through mine and Cody's picks on the week. Did pretty good, but we're going to go through it, and this is one of them. Picked this game much closer, and I don't have a clue why in the world the line was as close as it was in this one. I know that Tulane played Oklahoma really well and played really good in the week two as well. But Ole Miss's offense, much too much to really slow down at all against Tulane. They roll by 40, 61-21. Matt Corral, 335 yards, three touchdowns. Jerry and Ely did run for over 100 yards in this one. Again, Tulane, just they look good in the first quarter. I'll give them that. I mean, it was 21. They scored 21 points in the first half. But Ole Miss alone scored 21 in the second quarter and in the third quarter. So that offense of Ole Miss has been elite. Matt Corral's the big deal. He's the real deal for sure. Could possibly be the Heisman, top Heisman candidate contender right now. And I don't know. I really hadn't actually looked at any of those lines. I probably should take a look back at them. But if he's not near in the top of that one, somebody's doing something wrong, because offensively Ole Miss has got it going on, and it's because of Matt Corral. No knock on like Jerry and Ely. He's doing a great job there as well to have that 1-2 punch, being able to put the ball on the ground, but as well as through the air. I'm really looking forward to that game coming up. Let's see, when is that game? It's coming up not next week, but the week following. Not this week coming, but next week on October 2nd when you get Ole Miss traveling to Alabama. That's going to be a really fun one there with this high-powered offense. And we're going to get to some questions about that Alabama defense coming up here in just a minute when we review that one. But Ole Miss in the end takes down Tulane 61-21. Arkansas takes care of business in a big way against Georgia Southern there at the house, 45-10. KJ Jefferson throwing almost 400 yards on this one, 366 with three touchdowns on the night. Treylon Burks, 127 yards receiving and a touchdown. Arkansas just looked really good in this one, dominated the ball in all aspects. Made it a little close there at the half after Southern puts up 10 points there in the second quarter, but in the end it was still 24-10 at that point, and they just continued to roll in the third and fourth quarter. Kentucky and Chattanooga, a game that should have never been this close, a team that I picked to be second behind Georgia in the SEC East, a team that I picked in Kentucky to take down Florida in that same week that Alabama and Ole Miss play there on October 2nd. Now looking a little iffy. Kentucky looked good, again, like I said, last week against Missouri, taking them down, and the only team that I figure might fight for them in that second and third place there with Florida, but struggles mightily against the Chattanooga team here. Only winning by five. Again, this one didn't have a line either. That one was 28-23, and it kind of got close there for a little while because I think it was, 10, 13-14 going into the fourth quarter. Luckily, Kentucky puts up a couple of touchdowns in there. Will Levis looked pretty good in this one, 254, two touchdowns on the night. Wandale Robinson just continues to be elite, eight receptions and 111 yards, no touchdowns. But much, much too close for Kentucky there. They've got to work on that defense if they're going to be able to stop anybody. If you're going to be able to stop Florida's offense, especially in the way that Florida was able to move the ball against Alabama, you got to step up. Because putting up 28 points against a team like Chattanooga, you get in a game like that against Florida and you're going to get ran over pretty heavily. So at this point, that's going to be something to watch. Let's see if Kentucky's offense can continue to get some yardage, but as well as that defense can stop somebody. Missouri, Southeast Missouri, 59-28. Missouri getting the job done. Connor Bazelak, almost 350 yards on three touchdowns on the night. J.J. Hester, 79 yards receiving and a touchdown in this one. But another one. Missouri's defense should not give up 28 points to a team like this. In the end, they do still end up winning the game by 31. But, I mean, it's still just, to me, that's just much, much too close of a game. Or not too close of a game, 31 points. But giving up 28 points to a Southeastern Missouri just shouldn't happen. Missouri's defense has always been really good, especially when, man, I'm completely blanked on his name there. I keep wanting to say Mike Bobo. I'm not sure why he's in my head at the moment. But anyways, you know who I'm talking about. Was the head coach just a couple years ago. I think he's there at Arkansas now as a coordinator. You guys are probably screaming it in your headphones or watching YouTube going, come on, you dummy. You know what this is? And I can't think of it right now. So if it comes to me later, I'm sure it will and I'll say it then. But anyways, Missouri does end up winning that one 59-28. Tennessee rolled over Tennessee Tech just like you're supposed to. Hennon Hooker looked pretty good in this one. 199 yards, three touchdowns. Also ran the ball for 64 yards and a touchdown, putting up four total touchdowns on the night. 263 total yards for him. Let's see. That's pretty much it in that one. We're going to skip past Mississippi State and Memphis and get to that one because that was a little bit controversial. Central Michigan taking on LSU at the house there for LSU. Max Johnson, 372 yards, five touchdowns on the night. Corey Kiner going 74 yards and a touchdown. Deion Smith being the lead receiver, 135 yards and two touchdowns through the air in Miami's route. LSU's route of Central Michigan. 49-21, again, just another game that LSU shouldn't be giving up this many points because, again, there's games coming up in the future that you just can't do that. You can't give it up that many points because you're just not going to be able to do it. Not an SEC play once you get against the likes of an Alabama and Arkansas, whose defense is really good right now. Moving down to the bottom of the SEC East, and that is Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, we picked this one to lose to Stanford. Stanford, that line, I think, was 12. And sure enough, unfortunately, that does happen for Vanderbilt. Stanford, 41-23 over Vanderbilt. Just did not look really good in that one. Rocco Griffin does run the ball for 107 yards, but that's about as good as it got for Vandy there. All right, Mississippi State, Memphis. Whew. That's a tough one. There were a lot of missed calls, wrong calls, blown calls in all of college football on Saturday, but none quite like Mississippi State Memphis. And what very well could have been the difference in this game, Memphis taking down Mississippi State 31-29. Their record should be flipped right now. Mississippi State should be 3-0. Memphis should be 2-1. How in the world, on a punt, does a player put his hand on the ball? The referee literally runs up to him, throws the hacky sack on the ground, puts his arms in the air as if he's about to call the play dead. The guy picks the ball up from Memphis and takes off running down the side of the field. And the ref just standing there looking like, well, Maybe I don't blow my whistle and we just let this go. How in the world this play is allowed to happen? How you don't take advantage of the resources that we have in 2021 of a replay and say, yeah, you know, this shouldn't have happened. There were other calls in this game, but that alone, why are we dealing with this in this day and age of college football? Ridiculous. In the end, to me, should Mississippi State have put up more against Memphis? Yes. This was a tight line for a reason. I think, let's see, what did they end up having that one at? I think it was pretty close. Yeah, three. Memphis was a 3-point favorite. They lose by two. Or, excuse me, Mississippi State was a 3-point favorite and lose by two. They should have put up more points, yes, I agree. But at the same time, plays happen. A 94-yard touchdown in this one. Plays happen that should not happen, and the referees should be able to step in and change this instead of coming out after the game and saying, you know, we missed this. We missed that call. That was wrong. We're sorry. And that's just, we're just supposed to be okay with that. We're supposed to say, oh, okay, yeah. Glad you guys realize it don't do us any good after the game. You don't get to go back to that same position and pick up from where you left off and hope that you can make it a little better. It's just not the way it works. So, unfortunate for Mississippi State. Will Rogers, I mean, heck of a night. Throwing the ball 67 times. Couldn't believe that stat when I saw it. 50 for 67. Only 17 incomplete passes in this one. 419 yards, 3 touchdowns. Looked awesome. Mekhi Polk, 136 yards and a touchdown as the leading receiver there. Hate to see it for especially Will Rogers. I mean, I've hyped him before the season. I probably should calm down hyping him as much as I have. But, I mean, comes in, lights the world on fire through the air. But just terrible play, not play calling, terrible refereeing in this one. Just gave it away. That's all there is to it. Gave it away. Unfortunately, Mississippi State falling to 2-1 after that 31-29 loss there. Moving back up to a couple of the other big games of the weekend. We're going to start it off here with 22 Auburn traveling to number 10 Penn State. In another game that there were some calls in this one that were pretty controversial. They had to come out at the end of this game as well and say, hey, we missed a couple of calls here and we're sorry. You know, and it's, again, it's one of those, it's too late now. It doesn't matter. We can't go back and change this and possibly see if it changes the outcome of the game. You know, I think we go back to last season when Arkansas and Auburn were playing. How in the world these calls aren't being made and how some of these calls are being made and incorrectly, how some of this stuff happens, I don't understand. I also don't understand how you can go in a game and review something and then a flag gets to come out after it. I never knew that you could throw a flag because you see something in a replay. If that was the case, you know, you could go to replay a touchdown, and if you just so happen to see a guy holding somebody on the offense in the backfield, should you not throw a flag then? If you're just looking to see that it's a touchdown, you see, all right, he's in the end zone, it's a touchdown on the replay, and you happen to see an offensive lineman that's holding somebody, and now the touchdown should be negated. Well, guess what? You don't do that. You don't throw a flag in that situation. So why we are in here, I don't really know. Unfortunate for Auburn. They do fall 28-20. Sean Clifford for Penn State looked really good in this one. Tank Bigsby ran the rock really well, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns on the night. The only touchdowns that Auburn did get. But they do fall 28-20. Bo Nix, so-so in this game. Again, it's all about consistency, especially in a game that you have to have it. Again, this is traveling to a road team in a loud environment there at the Whiteout in Penn State. So, was glad to see Auburn keep this as close as they were because, again, this one could have gotten out of hand pretty quickly, that line. I think the over-under on that one was 53. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But kept it close. Fell by 8 in the end. Had an opportunity there at the end, too. Just didn't make it happen. And they end up falling 28-20. Now, the biggest game of the weekend was that Alabama-Florida game. Huge game. Alabama gets up to a 21-3 lead at the end of the first quarter. And we all thought the route was on. All right, Alabama, they've already put up a huge number in this. Florida's not doing anything. They don't have any answers for Alabama's offense right now. They can't slow them down. Bryce Young, 22 for 35, 240 yards, ends up throwing those 3 touchdowns there. But then all of a sudden, it's like the brakes got put on. Alabama didn't do anything in the second quarter. Florida started to realize they could run the ball a little bit in the second quarter and go into the half. It's 21-9. They're still back pretty far. Coming into the third quarter, boom, Florida marches right down the field and starts to realize, hey, we might be able to do something here on the ground. And they do. Malik Davis, he ends up carrying the rock for the most there for Florida. 10 carries, 86 yards, and a touchdown. And made this game really, really tight. Florida scoring a couple times there in the third quarter. And Alabama only scoring once just brought it all the more close. Get there at the end of the ball game, and Florida goes for it on 2-point conversion to tie the game. Ends up losing 31-29. And the controversial part about that was not necessarily the play calling, because maybe the play calling was right. Maybe the play calling is what you should do on a little option, a read option there with Emory Jones, and maybe it was Damian Pierce, I think, may have been the running back in there if it wasn't Malik Davis. But wasn't necessarily a coaching fault, unless you want to call the play call just a pretty lax one in this one. But part of that I'm going to put on Emory Jones. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to, because he just kind of walked with him. You know, he didn't hand the ball off for the guy to be able to get any kind of momentum forward to move through the line to try to score. But in running with him, it slowed him down, but it also slowed Emory down to where he couldn't decide to pull it and take off himself and hope that he can score. So unfortunate for Florida as far as that goes. Trying to tie it up there at the end, they did have the chance to, had the opportunity, just did not do it, and could not get an onside kick at the end of that one to be able to come back and tie it up. But overall, ended up being a really good game. Alabama's defense, those corners right now, that's a big question for Alabama, because they were able to put up, or they were not able to slow down Florida, I'm all over the place at that point. But I will say this. This is the first time, I think, since 2014 that Alabama did not put up over 100 yards rushing in a game. On the other side of this, Florida put up 245 yards rushing on the ground against that Alabama defense, a defense that we thought was much better, and I still think that they probably are, but maybe that front line's not quite as great as we thought. And I will say this, I said this before the game, and I got to give a little bit of credit to Emory Jones, because he ran the ball really well. He had a few passing plays here and there that were pretty good, and I even said, I don't think Florida wins the game with Emory Jones being the quarterback here. I think it takes Anthony Richardson coming in to be able to win this game. And I do still believe that if Anthony Richardson was the quarterback in this game, I think Florida might have won this game. But in the end, it was Emory Jones. He did do a really good job. He got him in a position to be able to tie it, maybe win it in the end. Not sure. You know, you can't really say one way or the other in a situation like that, because you really just don't know what happens if they do tie the ball game up and go from there. I mean, you just really don't. Bryce Young, again, looked really good in this one, throwing for 3 touchdowns. Jameson Williams looking like the top receiver there for Alabama, 61 yards. No touchdowns from him on the night. But in the end, ends up looking like a really good game, 31-29. I know Florida fans right now are licking their chops, saying, okay, we know what we got to do. We've got the blueprint here. So all we got to do is win out in the East and be able to probably, more than likely, get a rematch here against Alabama in the SEC championship game. And I'm going to say 2 things. One, Florida, don't count your chickens before they hatch, because you do have to play Georgia. And you're not going to be able to run the ball like you did against Alabama, against that front 7 of Georgia. Question at that point would be, will Anthony Richardson be healthy enough? Because we see the issues that Georgia has on the back end. Where you can, if you can get some guys deep enough to go over the top of that Georgia defense, you can move the ball efficiently and effectively, because it happened against Georgia in a South Carolina game that, yes, Georgia's going to be able to adjust, and we're going to see just how well they adjust to that as far as guys being able to get over the top on them. So that's one thing. So not so fast on that, because you're not going to run the ball quite as effectively as you did against Alabama. And the other side of that is, Alabama, like I was just talking about earlier, you have to play Ole Miss in a little while. If your defense is playing like that, Ole Miss is going to light up the scoreboard. The question is, though, because Ole Miss's defense is not all that great either, this, I think, is going to be another shootout just like it was last year, but I think it's going to be even closer than it was the year before. This is going to be a game, I'm serious, it could come down like 56-63 in the end of this one. I think it's going to be a really high-scoring and close game all the way out. This is not going to be a defensive struggle. And if we get to that and it ends up being like a 24-17, hey, somebody say, dude, you don't know what you're talking about, because this became a defensive battle. Don't think that's going to happen unless all of a sudden you got both quarterbacks throwing for 3 and 4 interceptions in the game. Don't see that happening either. Not saying it can't, but don't see that happening. So that's pretty much breaking down all of the games from this past weekend. Again, we had some really good ones in here. Let's get down to the picks from this past weekend, because, again, we just had some really good picks come through this past week between Cody and I. Cody and I coming into this last week, Cody was 24-4, I was 29-5, and we move in. Cody's picks, run through them real quick. We had to run through them pretty quickly at the end of last week, so I wanted to run through them with you guys real quick. Cody did pick Alabama to beat Florida and took that 14.5, actually put it pick the spread in this one. Unfortunately, it looked like they were going to carry it throughout the game until later on in the week. Later on in the game, Florida started to make a really good game out of it. So, unfortunately, the 14.5 does not hit, but Alabama did end up winning it. So, give them 1-1 there. Arkansas over Southern took that one. He took the other thing he shouldn't have done. He went with the rival in Auburn to beat Penn State. That one didn't happen, so doesn't get anything there. Georgia took the win over South Carolina, got that one. Kentucky over Chattanooga, LSU. He actually, in the end, picked Central Michigan to upset LSU, and unfortunately not getting that one. Took Ole Miss over Tulane. Mississippi State took them over Memphis. Unfortunately, that one didn't happen, so another X there. Missouri took the win over Southeast Missouri. South Carolina, we already talked about that. Tennessee Tech took Tennessee in the win there. A&M over New Mexico, and then loss for Vanderbilt at Stanford. So ends up on the week 9-4 after all that. Then looking at my side, Cody and I were identical on Alabama, so the win and the 14.5, unfortunately, we both end up 1-1 on that one. I took Arkansas over Southern, and then in the Auburn game, I took Auburn for the loss and also the under 53, both of those hits, so give me two dings there. And then South Carolina, I took Georgia with the win, but I also took Georgia to win by 31.5. Unfortunately, fell just a little short of that one, so go 1-1 on that one. Took Kentucky over Chattanooga, LSU over Central Michigan, Ole Miss, I took over Tulane, and I also took those 14, so give me two on that one. I took Mississippi State to beat Memphis, and I also took that -3, so double X there. And then Mississippi State, I took them to win, Missouri, I took them to win over Southeast Missouri. Give me that one. Tennessee over Tennessee Tech, Texas A&M over New Mexico. Also took Vanderbilt to lose to Stanford, also the -12 there for Stanford, which they got. So I end up 14-4 on the night. Just because of all the extra picks. Cody, so far on the season, 33-8. I will improve to 43-9. Again, I wanted to do things a little differently this year, so I picked some of the over-unders, some of the spreads, some of the money lines in this to try to keep it a little bit different so we're not so identical moving forward in this. Again, I told you guys if we would have Cody with us that we would go back through that top four as far as college football playoff final four. And I'm going to just run through it real quick just to kind of remind everybody. Cody's got Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame in his. It's possible. I mean, Clemson can win out, maybe find themselves there. Notre Dame not really looking all that good. They've fallen on down in the rankings in the past couple of weeks. I've got Georgia, Oklahoma, Clemson, and either Bama or Texas A&M in mine. So far, maybe. Maybe that happens. Not sure. Some other things still have to happen. Clemson not looking quite as good as they were earlier in the season, especially after that tight Georgia game, and then they play Georgia Tech and barely squeak that one out. Georgia Tech at the very end of that one could have also scored and made that a tie ball game. Let's kind of look ahead and see what we're looking at this upcoming week, which we will get into on Thursday's show. That is Georgia and Vanderbilt, LSU and Mississippi State. That should be a good one after Mississippi State upset the, at the time, defending national champions in LSU, started last season. Missouri, Boston College might be a good one. Boston College undefeated in that one. Texas A&M, Arkansas, that's probably going to be the biggest one of the weekend. That one being at AT&T Stadium. Again, we're going to get to all of the preview games, all of these previews coming up on Thursday. Tennessee and Florida might be a good one. Kentucky, South Carolina, Southern Miss, and Alabama. So that's what we got to look forward to. Again, you guys, check out the show once we get to it on Thursday, and we're going to, again, just kind of run through some of those games there. I appreciate all of you guys being with us. Again, if you're on YouTube, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button and follow us there. Give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Twitter at SEC Talk 20. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll check in with you guys.